Part Joe Boy Gardeners Bay. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from lovely Amagansett, New York. Today is Thursday, the 14th of August, 2014. On this date in 1784, Grigory Shelikhov, a Russian fur trader, founds the Three Saints Bay on Kodiak Island, the first permanent Russian settlement in Alaska. 1842, the Second Seminole War ends with Seminoles being forced from Florida to Oklahoma. 1935, Franklin Roosevelt signs the Social Security Act. 1941, Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt sign the Atlantic Charter, stating post-war aims. 1969, British troops are deployed in Northern Ireland. 1974, the second Turkish invasion of Cyprus begins. 1975, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the longest-running release film in history, opens in Los Angeles. 1980, massive labor strikes hit Lenin Shipyard in Gdansk, Poland. 1994, Ramirez Sanchez, known as Carlos the Jackal, is captured by the French in Khartoum. 2003, giant overnight blackouts hit the northeastern United States. I was here at the time and remember ice cream stores giving away free ice cream that afternoon. 2013, Egypt declares a state of emergency as security forces kill hundreds of demonstrators supporting former President Mohamed Morsi. Today is Pakistan's Independence Day. Birthdays are Steve Martin, Magic Johnson, Haley Berry, and Mila Kunis. It's just me, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Last week on the 6th of August, Swedish Foreign Minister Carl Bildt responded to Georgian investigations against former officials, including Misha, writing on Twitter, quote, "Georgia authorities deviate from European path in using justice system for revenge, does damage to the country," end quote. Likewise, Lithuanian Foreign Minister Linas Linkevičius wrote that on his official Twitter account on the 7th of August that, quote, "possible application of selective justice is incompatible with Euro integration process," end quote. The tweets created a stir in the Georgian government. Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze criticized Bildt's statement, saying that it was out of order and puts pressure on the courts and the legal process in Georgia. Georgian Dream member of parliament and chairman of the Defense and Security Committee of Parliament, Irakli Sesiashvili, wrote on his Facebook page that he was expecting to hear about Bildt's concerns. Quote, "what if we establish an award for concern," end quote, he asked sarcastically, Tool. Then he continued, quote, "he just reads headlines and gets concerned," end quote. Sesiashvili also said that the comments hurt Georgia's European perspective since it disrespects the country's democratic institutions. Actually, Sesiashvili hurts Georgia's European perspective, but okay. Anyway, President Margvelashvili rebuffed the MP, saying in a TV interview on the 7th of August that he thinks the kind of comments conveyed by the European politicians are important for him and for Georgia. Quote, "we will all be united in answering the questions from Mr. Carl Bildt or any of our partners. We have an obligation to show our partners that we are a democratic state and that there is no political persecution," end quote. Prime Minister Khadabashvili commented that the government's priority is transparency, while statements not to investigate past crimes directly contradicts the principles of democracy. On Friday, the 8th of August, Bildt and Khadabashvili spoke over the phone. On the 8th of August, after paying tribute to the fallen soldiers of the August 2008 war at the Mukhadverdi Memorial Ceremony, Khadabashvili said that the foreign ministers of Lithuania and Sweden are, quote, "members of the Saakashvili Friends Club," and, quote, "have a friendly obligation and are now expressing their compassion," end quote. Later on the same day, Bildt wrote again via Twitter that, quote, "if the prime minister does not want to listen to the best friends of his country in the EU, that's his choice. We take note," end quote. Speaking to journalists, Foreign Minister Panjikidze insisted that Georgia thoroughly listens to all recommendations and opinions offered by its friends regarding the country's development. When asked if she accepted the Prime Minister's view about Bildt being a member of the Saakashvili's Friends Club, she responded that Bildt has long been a friend, a strong friend of Georgia, first and foremost. As a reminder, Bildt and Polish Foreign Minister Radek Sikorski were the main architects of the EU Eastern Partnership Program that led to Georgia signing the EU Association Agreement in June 2014. In general, there are some questions about whether this matters. The answer is yes. These two and others like Georgia and have helped Georgia no matter who is in the administration. Insulting them is not a good thing for Georgia, no matter how good it feels. Insulting Putin wasn't a good idea, no matter how much the previous leadership and how many Georgians enjoyed it. But Putin has been a real enemy to Georgia. Bildt has been a true friend. Insulting him just proves the accuracy of his point, which is that the new leadership is partisan and is using the justice system for vengeance. That is bad for Georgia and its relationship with Europe. And they were not talking about, not saying don't investigate. They were saying don't prosecute and don't imprison until the investigations were done. At least that's what they were hinting in terms of my reading of what they said. Following up on last week's story about charges against Misha, on the 13th of August, prosecutor's office said that it will file new criminal charges against Misha, accusing him of misspending 8.83 million lari of public funds between September 2009 and February 2013. Timur Janashia, the former head of the Special State Protection Service, was charged along with Misha. Prosecutor's office alleges the state funds were used by Misha as a secret source of income for private spending over the five-year period. They said the scheme began after the private visit of massage therapist Dr. Dot to Tbilisi. After the case, Misha ordered Janashi to create a spending scheme where invoices for the costs relating to himself, his friends, and family were illegally named top secret. According to the prosecutor's office, top secret money included 2 million lari for hotels, 916,000 lari for travel tickets, 613,000 lari for cosmetic procedures, 237,000 lari in gifts, and so on. UNM leader Goka Gabashvili commented on the new changes, saying it's funny that the government, which spent more than 138 million lari on wages and bonuses, is arguing with the former president about expenses. Every president has expenses. Earlier, Prime Minister Gabashvili addressed a letter on the 6th of August to four U.S. senators, John McCain, Jim Risch, Jean Sheehan, and Mark Rubio, in response to their concerns about Misha's prosecution. In the letter, he invites them to follow the process closely and said that looking into the alleged wrongdoings of former officials and ending impunity will make Georgia a stronger nation and ally. He writes that he is committed to working with, quote, anyone in Georgia who is willing to be a constructive partner, end quote. Prime Minister also reiterates Georgia's pro-Western foreign policy course and says that Georgia is committed to taking no action that will jeopardize our aspiration. The 8th of August, legal advocacy and rights watchdog Georgian Young Lawyers, or GYLA, said in a statement that it is monitoring the court hearings with Misha and found that there was nothing to suggest that the court's ordering for pretrial detention in absentia was either unjustified or in violation of the law. During the hearing on the 1st of August, prosecutors argued that Misha repeatedly avoided cooperation with the investigation and that the prosecution was left with no other option than to ask for his pretrial detention in absentia. Who knows? I would just say a couple of different things. Whatever they're saying Misha did, it sounds like he may have done, and it's bad that he did that. And finding out exactly what is the story with that is important, and they should be completely investigated. Jail time is another matter that can be figured out once everybody understands more about this. I would also say, though, that this is just dominating the airwaves in Georgia still, and it's been quite a while, and there's a lot of other things to work on. That's not saying that the investigation should not go on, but there are other priorities, I think. During the press conference on the 7th of August, Georgian Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze commented that stopping relations and Western sanctions against Russia and reciprocal moves by the Kremlin is cause for concern and, quote, is not the proper way out of the crisis, end quote, meaning the Ukraine crisis. According to her, instead, the two sides should go to the negotiating table, since that's always worked so well with the Kremlin. The UNM criticized the remarks. UNM Parliamentary Minority Leader Dato Bakradze responded on the 8th of August that such remarks, quote, stated publicly that the Georgian government's position contradicts the position of our main strategic partners, the United States and the EU. According to this statement, sanctions are counterproductive and fruitless. The Georgian authorities should make it clear on which side of a watershed it stands, whether it stands with our main partners, Europeans and Americans, or on the side of Putin's Russia, end quote. He said it is symbolic that Panjikidze made her statement about sanctions not being productive the same day as President Obama said that the sanctions were having an effect, and NATO Secretary General said that NATO is suspending relations with Russia. Foreign Minister Panjikidze responded with a special statement that political opponents were misinterpreting her comments. and try to accuse us of not showing solidarity towards Ukraine, I want to strongly deny it. We support Ukraine in absolutely everything. On the 12th of August, President Mark Vilashvili spoke with his Ukrainian counterpart, Petro Poroshenko, and reiterated Tbilisi's firm support to Ukraine territorial integrity and sovereignty. It was announced that Georgia will join an international humanitarian effort in Luhansk in eastern Ukraine. On the 11th of August, former government official Oleg Melnikov pleaded guilty to the murder of bank employee Sandro Ghirvliani in January 2006. 28-year-old Ghirvliani was murdered after a scuffle at a Tbilisi cafe during a birthday party for an Interior Ministry official. Georgia was strongly criticized by the European Court of Human Rights for the handling of the case. It said in a ruling that the different branches of state power cooperated to prevent justice from being done. None of those directly involved were investigated, but four police officers were found guilty and later given an early release. The Georgian Dream government reopened the murder investigation and charged several former government officials, including Melnikov, an official at the Constitutional Security Department, or CUDI, who left Georgia after the UNM lost parliamentary elections in 2012. In December 2012, he was detained in Ukraine and extradited to Georgia in September 2013. In his testimony, Melnikov said that after the murder of Ghirvliani, he was in a car with Interior Ministry officials. He said that he stayed in the car, but he knows that the former head of CUDI, Data Halaya, met with Chief Prosecutor Zura Deshvili at the prosecutor's office and then with Misha at his residence. During these meetings, they worked out a plan for how to blame four Interior Ministry employees for the murder and avoid public protest. The four scapegoats would be released early from prison. The next hearing in the case will be held on the 18th of August. Melnikov is charged with assisting in illegal deprivation of liberty organized by a group. And as far as I know, all of these things did happen. Ghirvliani was murdered by Interior Ministry officials. There was a great deal of discussion among the highest level of people in the country. There was a cover-up, and justice was not served. And so the investigation of this is certainly important. On the 11th of August, the Court of Appeals upheld the prison sentence for former Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili on charges of exceeding official power for violently breaking up anti-government protests in Tbilisi in 2011. Medavashvili's defense lawyer said that they will appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court and then to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. Tbilisi City Court sentenced Medavashvili in February 2014 to 4 years and 6 months in jail. The 9 months he spent in pretrial detention prior to the verdict is included in the prison time. Medavashvili is also standing trial over separate charges of exceeding official authorities while serving as Interior Minister and is co-accused in two separate cases with Misha, including the violent dispersal of anti-government protests in November 2007. President Mark Vilashvili and Prime Minister Kadabashvili congratulated Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan on his victory in Turkey's first direct presidential election held on the 10th of August. In their separate messages of congratulations, they reiterated the friendship and partnership between the two countries. The president's office challenged the prosecutor's office over their handling of classified correspondence, accusing the latter of disclosing information deemed classified by the prosecutor's office itself. On the 8th of August, the prosecutor's office revealed to the media that it requested Mark Vilashvili to declassify those portions of the 2009 to 2013 spending records from the Special State Protection Service, which were still secret. Part of those records were declassified and made public after the Georgian Dream came to power. Georgian Dream said the records showed misspending of large amounts of public funds by Misha when he was president. The declassification of the remaining spending records fell within the authority of the president. A few hours later, the president's administration released a statement accusing the prosecutor's office of disclosing classified correspondence between the president's office and the prosecutor's office in violation of the law on state secrets. The president's office asked the Interior Ministry, which is in charge of looking into the consequences of disclosure of state secrets, to react on the issue. The Interior Ministry responded on the 9th of August that it had no reaction as the case contains no sign of crime. It also said that the allegation of the prosecutor's office disclosed secret information was not true. The prosecutor's office also denied the allegation. The president's office released a new statement insisting again that the revealing the correspondence itself was disclosure of classified information. The prosecutor's office explained that it requested President Mark Vilashvili to declassify the remaining secret portion of SSPS spending records as part of its investigation into misspending of budgetary funds. The prosecution suggested that the information in question in fact contained no state secrets and was classified just to keep this misspending of public funds beyond public scrutiny. The prosecutor's office said that it sent the request to President's administration twice, on the 12th of July and again on the 6th of August. The president only agreed to declassify the information after the prosecutor told media about it on the 8th of August. This is a complicated situation. It mainly shows the continuing battle between the directly elected president and the various cabinet officials who largely work for Bidzina Ivanishvili. Clearly, declassification is being used to justify the case against Misha, which, by the way, sounds like a pretty strong case. On the other hand, there doesn't seem to be any move to declassify or publicize any details of spending under the current government. There's clearly a partisan motivation for the declassification of this information. I also might add that one of the important aspects of Georgia's attempts to get close to NATO is document security, which it's never traditionally been particularly good on, and this is not really very good for Georgia's NATO aspirations, and the prosecutor's office should have paid attention to that when it was trying to show the public how outlandish Misha's expenditures were. Two French women were detained in Georgia in August. They were carrying a painkiller containing codeine, which is readily available in France, but is banned in Georgia. One of the two women, Arzu Bilci, told France Info Radio that she was holidaying in Turkey when she decided to take a day trip to neighboring Georgia. Customs officers found her pills, which she uses for headaches, and she and another unnamed woman were arrested for possession of banned substances. Bilici was told she was being fined €2,500 and was ordered to remain in Georgia until a court confirmed the penalty. She explained that the French embassy in Tbilisi did not help her, that she was living in her car parked outside of the Tbilisi courtroom. On the 8th of August, Georgia marked a six-year anniversary of the 2008 war with Russia. 228 Georgian civilians, 170 soldiers, and 14 police officers were killed in the five-day conflict. About 150 on the Ossetian and Russian side, although the numbers are not clear. The original number said over and over again on Russian TV, 2,000 immediately after the fighting started turned out to in no way be true. 20,000 refugees remain from the war. There was a ceremony, commemoration ceremony that was in the Mukhadveri Cemetery in Tbilisi, attended by the Georgian government. President Mark Velashvili laid a wreath at the soldiers' memorial. Quote, "We give each other a promise that we will do everything to ensure bloodshed like that will never happen again. We will defend our country and our people through peace, continue our everyday struggle for our country's sovereignty and independence," end quote. He said Prime Minister Khadavashvili also laid a wreath. Quote, "I pay tribute to our heroes who died for their homeland. I would like to thank their families for bringing up such patriots," end quote. He said, he continued that the country is now standing on the road to European integration while at the same time is trying to normalize relations with Russia. He also noted that Georgia was suffering grave consequences because of the war. He refused to comment on who was responsible for causing the war, but believed that former President Misha's reckless policies made it impossible to prevent the war with Russia. Khadabashvili told journalists that an investigation of alleged crimes committed during and after the August 2008 war is still ongoing, adding that it is Georgia's obligation under the Rome Statute to investigate all details and nuances of this war. According to the lawyer Romeo Sajaya, before his sudden death, Erosi Kitsmatashvili was planning to make a statement about Barbara Rafalian's case, just before the October 2012 parliamentary elections, a day before, the baby of a Georgian Dream activist, Rafalian, was found dead. It was called a murder and was blamed on the UNM. There were cameras right nearby in the village. There were rumors that it was accidental, but Otsneba knowingly made up the details to blame it on the UNM, which was quite effective the day before the election in motivating Otsneba supporters to the polls. There were even more serious stories floating around about what Otsneba could have done to the child. As a reminder, Kitsmatashvili was shot on the 15th of July, with authorities fairly quickly saying it was suicide, although few believe that. On the 7th of August, Kurdish Peshmerga security forces fighting Islamic State forces said that they killed ISIS leader Tarkan Batirshvili, known as Abu Omar al-Shishani, during battles for the Dam of Mosul. Al-Shishani was born in 1986 in Birkiani in Georgia's Pankizi Gorge. Kurdish sources released a photo of the killed fighter with al-Shishani's signature red beard. The story is not independently confirmed elsewhere and may not be true. Just saying it's out there. On the 13th of August, the Ministry of Health, Labor, and Social Affairs announced it will cover the medical costs of patients seeking medical aid due to drug overdoses, a part of the greater strategy to reduce the number of deaths from overdoses. As well, medical staff who treat patients with drug overdose cases will not be obliged to inform law enforcement agencies anymore. Georgian chess master Zura Azmai Parashvili was elected president of the European Chess Union on the 11th of August. The election was part of the 41st World Chess Olympiad 2014, currently taking place in Tromsø, Norway. It is one of the world's most prestigious chess events. Men and women's teams from Georgia are participating in the event. A police officer was detained in Batumi on the 10th of August for taking a bribe 2 days earlier. According to the Interior Ministry's press department, the general inspection detained the officer for exceeding official powers. No more details are known about the case. On the 8th of August, UNM Member of Parliament Georgi Kandalaki was attacked. According to UNM Youth Movement Free Zone, Kandalaki was on his way home in the car. Car following him blocked the road. Someone came out and started attacking Kandalaki and allegedly bit him. It was later found out that the attacker was Alexei Meladze, who works for the Tetritskado municipality and is a member of Georgian Dream. The president appointed a new ambassador to the Netherlands on the 8th of August. The appointee Kote Surguladze served as state minister of diaspora issues until the cabinet reshuffle on the 21st of July. Members and supporters of the Yazidi communities in Armenia and Georgia held rallies in their respective capitals on the 13th of August to express support for the thousands of Yazidis in Iraq persecuted by advancing Islamic State militants. Armenia is home to some 40,000 Yazidis, while Georgia has nearly 20,000. The Tbilisi rally was held in front of the old parliament in Rustaveli. The Yazidi community, along with Christian and civic activists, also held a rally last week on the 6th of August in front of the UN House in Tbilisi. They called on the UN and the international community to protect the Yazidis in Iraq who fled to the Shingal Mountains to escape the Islamic State forces. On Monday, the 11th of August, there was a quarrel outside Tbilisi City Hall between people who wanted to meet the mayor and tell him about their problems. Newly elected mayor Dato Normanius decided to set aside one day to meet with citizens. Hundreds of people turned up outside his office. A scuffle ensued when people tried to get inside without waiting in line. Normanius said that he and his deputies met with about 700 people and that he is ready to meet with citizens every Monday from 2 to 6 p.m. City Hall will ask people to register in advance to meet with the mayor or his deputies. And from our Malibu correspondent, a man in the village of Dmanisi broke a new record. You've probably heard of some of his records before. He lifted 33 kilograms with his eyelids, supposedly. Yes, that's supposedly a true fact. Last week, on the 5th of August, Patriarch Ilya II gave Prime Minister Gharibashvili a white horse. The gift was given during a visit by the Prime Minister to the Patriarch to the latter's hometown of Snow in Kazbegi region. The two also visited Larsi checkpoint between Georgia with Russia, as well as a newly constructed church in the Dadiali Valley. The cost of the horse is unknown. If the price of the gift is more than 5% of the income of the official, they must transfer the gift to the finance ministry. Georgian Defense Minister Irakli Alasania met with his Afghan counterpart Bismillah Khan Mohammed in Kabul on the 10th of August. They signed a memorandum of understanding between the defense ministries of the two countries. Georgian military will share reform experience and provide training to the Afghan armed forces. Alasania also met Georgian troops serving Camp Phoenix in Kabul and the Kandahar airfield. Georgia currently has 755 soldiers in the ISAF mission. Medical Activities State Control Agency published a list of medications that will no longer be sold without a prescription. Starting from the 1st of September, medications of the second group, including sleeping and relaxation medications, antidepressants, microbial drugs for systemic use, anti-cancer and diabetes drugs, will no longer be sold without a prescription. Users will be required to present a doctor's prescription for such popular medications as Nemacil, Ketonol, Glucose, Demidrol, these are all capitalized, officially named drugs, Suprastine, Analgene, Vitamin E, Dramina, Erythromycin, Vitamin E, can they even do that? Anyway, so these, it's long, long past the time that these should have been given as per prescriptions. There tends to be way too much use, unregulated use, because people skip going to doctors and just go to pharmacists and say, here's, you know, here's my problem, please tell me what I should have. And this is a good thing, although there's been quite a bit of pushback against the health minister, who generally gets good reviews among those in the cabinet. Three women died from Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever in Georgia, and 12 further cases are confirmed. Laboratory analysis confirmed the cases in the town of Khashoggi and Shidakartli are the tick-borne viral disease. People with active contact with cattle are the ones mainly affected. Crimean Congo fever sounds really creepy. Heavy rain caused major flooding in Shidakartli overnight on the 12th and 13th of August, causing major damage to the small village of Kvishheti in Borjomi. A mudslide covered the road and blocked traffic. Over 100 houses were flooded. According to locals, the water level is about 1 meter high inside the houses. Cattle houses collapsed, poultry died, and harvest was destroyed. Emergency crews are helping to drain the water. Georgia's men's national basketball team won its first Eurobasket 2015 qualifying match on the 11th of August, playing against the Czech Republic with a final score 73-62. The match was played in Tbilisi. Georgia's top scorer was Zaza Pachulia, who is an NBA basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks. The team that wins the four nation group, Portugal, Czech Republic, Georgia, and Hungary, is guaranteed a place at next year's European Championship. Locals from the village of Ninigori in Lago Deschi municipality demonstrated on Monday, the 11th of August. They said that they had not had running water for over 20 years and have to bring in water from several kilometers away. They said the village well dried out due to a drought. And while they complained many times to the local government, no one ever paid any attention to their problems. Local media reports that during the demonstration, Goderzi Bakradze, the head of the local assembly, came and said that he hadn't been told about the problem for the last 20 years. The villagers plan to protest outside the prime minister's office if the water problem isn't solved. The government will allocate 2 million lani for the development of tourism infrastructure in the town of, remember, Snow in the Kazbegi region. The money will be allocated from the regional projects fund. And by the way, Snow is Ilya II's hometown. On the 13th of August, Georgian police made a significant drug bust and one person was arrested. Cooperation between officers from Imereti Racha Lechkhumi and Zemosvaneti main division led to the seizure of more than 13 kilos of drugs, including more than 6 grams of heroin. As a result of their investigation, local citizen Patac was arrested and charged with illegally purchasing and possessing drugs in large quantities. Not sure what the 12 kilos, 994 grams of the other drugs were, but I don't know. I guess plenty. I have no idea. A bust of Stalin was erected in the town of Akuta in eastern Georgia on the 11th of August. It is unknown who put it up. The bust was taken down less than a day later on the 12th of August. Stalin bust has come down and gone up several times in Akuta over the past 2 years. In February 2013, it was removed and painted pink after having been painted pink. Graffiti appeared outside the buildings in the offices of the Eurasia Institute and at Ecce Maiore Society in Tbilisi. It read, "Be warned, traitors are here," according to anonymous information and photos received by Eden Toba. The Mountain Resorts Development Company announced it will spend 3 million lari improving Bakudiani Ski Resort over the next winter season. They will repair ropeways, mark bike lanes, add ski slopes, and rebuild a broken vernacular. At a children's park, an electronic ticketing system will be introduced in Bakudiani and Gudauri, so skigoers will be able to purchase tickets on-site without standing in line. The Gudauri Development Agency was renamed the Mountain Resorts Development Company last month. On the 8th of August, there was another landslide on Georgia's main highway connecting the country's east and west. It was cleared later the same day. It was likely caused by heavy rains near the Rikoti Pass that morning. It's the fourth landslide in recent months blocking the route. A French-produced film, Don't Breathe, by Nino Curtadze, will have its world premiere at the very high-profile Toronto International Film Festival in September. The film follows a middle-aged married couple in Tbilisi as they deal with a fallout from an unclear, potentially fatal diagnosis. On the 14th of August, there was a rally against Kazantip, that's today, attended mainly by priests and churchgoers. They held a mass at the rally. Posters read, "Please don't make Georgia into Sodom and Gomorrah." because that's where sodomy happens. No, it didn't really say that. Some priest aggressively insulted a Taboola reporter and said that not a single normal person would work at Taboola. The other rally participants called the Taboola journalists whores, and that the police blocking the rally are controlled by Taboola's director. Wow. The director of Kazantip, Nikita Marshonuk, was also at the protest. He told journalists that the priests are invited to come to the festival and that he will personally guarantee that there will be no sex at Kazantip. I like this guy. Regarding the new regulations for foreigners in Georgia set to begin on the 1st of September, recently a Canadian was denied entry into the country at Tbilisi International Airport because he did not have an exit ticket. He did not have a return ticket, and they asked, which seems rare. There are also many cases, including of Canadians over the last several weeks who entered and were not asked for a return ticket. But these issues are pretty tight in terms of what they're asking foreigners. So let's just, everybody be careful and make sure you get your residence permits and deal with all of that mess. On the 19th of August will be the hottest day ever in Tbilisi, with temperatures reaching 39 degrees Celsius, according to information forecast by the National Agency for Environmental Monitoring Forecast Center. Just so you know, Parliament is on break until the first Tuesday of September. The meme this week is a photo published by Taboola magazine of a movie still from a musical being filmed in Tbilisi, The Night in the Tiger Skin, by director Nicolas Khomasuridze. The costume choice is a little nutty. Things to read: a photo essay on civil.ge on the preparations for Kazantip Electronic Music Festival in Anaklia. Regardless of church warnings against the festivals, locals support the event and the influx of tourists it will bring. Maya Edilashvili investigates for Transitions Online about a Misha-era privatization investment program. She finds that sometimes nepotism determined the sale of land being sold at a symbolic price of one lotti to members of Misha's inner circle. It's a very thorough article. Check it out. Article by Lincoln Mitchell in Foreign Policy Magazine's Democracy Lab about the criminal charges against Misha. He argues that Misha's U.S. allies should not interfere with their comments and allow justice to run its course. At the bottom of the article is printed clarification, August 8, 2014. The author of this article, Lincoln Mitchell, consulted for the Georgian Dream Coalition in the run-up to the 2012 elections. The previous version of this article did not make that association clear. Agenda.ge has a detailed breakdown of the expenses and spendings of public funds allegedly misused by former President Misha, as he is charged by the prosecutor's office, as discussed above. Take a look. It's pretty hair-raising. Have a look at NGO Jumpstart's newest infographic asking, who is Georgia's number one public official? It's about prime minister versus presidential powers, and it's quite interesting. Chow.com, thanks to our Malibu correspondent, has an article. I mean, not they have an article, but we were told about the article in Chow.com by our Malibu correspondent. It has an article called Georgian Food is Having a Manhattan Moment, mainly about the glories of Khachapuri, but also how Manhattanites can enjoy all of these things in Manhattan without having to sully themselves by moving out towards Brooklyn, as used to be the case. All those things to read will be posted on our forum. Geocapital number this week is 180. This is the number of fatalities from car accidents from January to June 2014, according to the information published by the Ministry of Interior. For the same period in 2013, there were 140 fatalities. The number of accidents is steady, however. 2014, there were 2,557. 2013, there were 2,553. Georgia continues to have a higher than average road death rate, but it is much improved since the seatbelt law came into force a few years ago. From the 12th of August to the 20th of August, Amidani Movie Theater will be playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 3D at 2:30 and 10:30. On the 21st of August at 7 p.m., will be the opening with the European Alumni Association Georgia's Brain Picking Series, Imagine a Better Workspace, Examples of Cooperation, Innovation Office Practice, Innovative Office Practices Around the World. Guest speakers Inga Snip from EdgeRiders, Nino Nanitashvili from Google Development Group Tbilisi, and Remy Boissonnaz from CoSpot will review different ways people work in networks and in office environments around the world. It'll be followed by a discussion and group problem-solving activities. The activity will be at the newly opened co-working space CoSpot in the Karvaslaw Center, third floor, room 308. Address is 7 Sotne Dadiani Street. This will be interesting. Go to this if you can. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum at www.tpeelpod.com. From 1966, this is Love and Spoonful with Summer in the City.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk hotter than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city.